Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 24, 2020. A South Sudanese activist escapes from Juba to the United States.
Immediately when Garbino announced that he has formed rebellion, South Sudan government, particularly the National Security and the Office of the President, began to make up allegations that I had something to do with the activities of this gentleman. And then 9 days later on, Garbino was captured by the government forces, national security forces specifically, and then he was executed.
And the United Nations says 6,000 families are displaced by intercommunal clashes in Jonglei State. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Peter Bierre-Ajak, the chairperson of the South Sudan Youth Leadership Forum, arrived in Washington, D.C. Thursday after U.S. officials granted him and his family an emergency humanitarian visa. The former Blue House prisoner says he felt unsafe in Nairobi and accused South Sudan President Salva Kiir of ordering a hit squad to kill him in Nairobi, where he was staying with his family.
And then they took photos of their dead bodies and sending them around. And from that day on, it started, first of all, with the bodyguard of General Kolkor Kuj, a gentleman called Marwop Anei, one of his bodyguards, posting on Facebook that now that they have killed Garbino, the next hit for them to collect would be mine.
During an online press conference today, Bierre said he began to feel unsafe after the killing of Garbino Wohl, a South Sudanese businessman who rebelled and was killed in June. Bierre accused the government of spying on him in Nairobi. Government officials have categorically denied those allegations.
Immediately when Garbino announced that he has formed rebellion, South Sudan government, particularly the National Security and the Office of the President, began to make up allegations that I had something to do with the activities of this gentleman. And then 9 days later on, Garbino was captured by the government forces, national security forces specifically, and then he was executed. Now, after he was executed, I'm sure many of you must have seen photos. Photos were taken of his dead body. And not only himself, there's another gentleman called Abraham Ajak Maliap. He was also with me in the Blue House. He was captured with Garbino and executed. And then they took photos of their dead bodies and sending them around. And from that day on, it started, first of all, with the bodyguard of General Kolkor Kuj, a gentleman called Marwop Anei, one of his bodyguards, posting on Facebook that now that they have killed Garbino, the next hit for them to collect would be mine.
Pierre says the impunity in South Sudan has led the country down a dark path and its leaders. He says the leaders have failed the people of South Sudan. Pierre is calling for a generational exit of South Sudanese leaders. While he has fled the region, Bierre says he plans to continue his work with South Sudanese youth in the diaspora, including the former Lost Boys who arrived in the United States in the early 2000s. President Salva Kiir has told his first vice president, Riek Machar, to nominate another candidate for the position of the governor of Upper Nile State. Machar's Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition had recommended General Johnson Oloing for the position of the governor of Upper Nile State. Kiir says Machar's choice for the governor was not suitable.
What I want to say is that, yes, all the parties that have signed the agreement have their rights to be respected. What I want to make known to all of you is that when it comes to the lives of the people in the country, it is the president who is responsible for them. This is why I sometimes alter some of your appointments.
Mr. Kiir says Machar's pick for the governor of Upper Nile State will bring instability in the area. He says the president of the country is answerable if things get out of hand.
If it is somebody that will cause a fighting or conflict, like in Upper Nile, this is why I keep quiet and I say no, because it will be on my neck later in the day. This is something I want to leave with Comrade Yet, to go and think over it.
James Okuk is with the Juba-based Center for Strategic Studies. He says President Kiir and his vice, Machar, should find a solution to the stalemate over the governorship of Upper Nile.
It is advisable that they stick to the letter and the spirit of the agreement. If the President of the Republic continue to reject General Johnson Oloing to be appointed as the governor, I think the SPLM-IO leadership have the obligations to keep their dignity and also to exert their weight that they are an equal partner when it comes to the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement.
President Kiir says he respects Machar as a party leader, but says security of South Sudanese is important than politics.
I know you are a political party leader and who is a secretary to the agreement. With all your rights, that you are a party leader, that if you make your appointment, nobody should go against it.
Okuk says President Kiir is not implementing the peace agreement. He says the articles of the 2018 peace deal is clear.
Article 1.6 spell out very clearly the powers, functions, and responsibilities of the President of the Republic. And those responsibilities do not include rejection of any nominee of the party. Even the revitalized constitution does not also give the president powers to reject the nominee of any party.
Jock Madud Jock is the founder of the Juba-based Sud Institute. Madud says the agreement should be implemented in letter and spirit.
President will probably need to explain where he gets his mandate from to reject the nomination by a party that is supposedly an equal party in the government of national unity and in the agreement. Otherwise, this could produce a state of stalemate in the implementation of the revitalized agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan.
He says the issue of Upper Nile could take the parties back to negotiations. He says the two leaders need to show leadership.
The question is, what is going to happen if Dr. Riak insists on his nomination? For any peace agreement is as good as the willingness of the parties to it to continue to negotiate and renegotiate, if need be, the implementation process. If they come up against a stumbling block, they need to work out how willing are they to sort out these obstacles peacefully.
President Kiir told SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar to nominate another candidate for the position of the governor of Upper Nile State. A top UN official in South Sudan says fresh outbreak of fighting in Greater Jonglei has forced up to 6,000 people to flee their homes and seek refuge next to the UN base in Pibor. David Shiara says thousands of families fled their villages in Likwangule, about 30 kilometers north of Pibor town, following an attack by armed groups on Wednesday. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
UNMISS Chief David Sierra says thousands of villagers fled their homes following an attack by armed men in this latest wave of intercommunal fighting on Wednesday night north of Pibor.
The sudden influx of 6,000 displaced people came after the village of Lekongole, about 30 kilometers north of Pibor town, was attacked by armed groups last night.
South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify the number of displaced villagers. Sierra says fresh tensions remain high in Pibor with the prospect of many more families seeking protection from the violence. He says conditions are dire for most of the families seeking sanctuary near to the UN base due to recent flooding. Sierra says areas where the fighting is concentrated have already been hit hard by months of intercommunal fighting, flooding, and hunger, and as a result, humanitarian agencies are stretched thin. The UNIMIS boss says the players involved has gone beyond youth from Jonglei States, Bor and Akobo counties, and the greater Pibor administrative area.
This conflict is not simply intercommunal between ethnic groups. Other political figures are at work. And these external actors need to stop deliberately stoking the conflict for the sake of the local communities.
While Sierra did not name names, he has previously told the South Sudan in Focus that armed men wearing military uniforms have taken part in intercommunal attacks in the area. Last month, President Salva Kiir formed a high-level committee headed by Vice President James Wani Iga that was tasked with coming up with the solutions to resolve the intercommunal clashes within 21 days. That deadline has since expired. Sierra says the government panel should meet all communities in its efforts to end the fighting.
We welcome the efforts of the government committee to mediate, and we urge it to ensure the process is inclusive and representative of all those involved, including Nua, Mule and Dinka. All of these groups are directly responsible for the violence. The solution lies with them. There are no innocent parties here except for the civilians that are affected.
For the past 2 months, some 8 agencies, including Doctors Without Borders, have scaled down some of their humanitarian work in Greater Jonglei due to the escalating crisis, saying it is no longer safe to operate in the area. Sierra says the fighting has to end now.
The parties must immediately stop fighting, pull back, and return to their home areas. Buffer zones need to be established to protect people and enable reconciliation to safely take place.
When asked what the government is doing about the escalating violence in the area, spokesperson Michael Makwe said the fighting is nothing new and that Vice President Iga is handling the problem.
Dr. James Wani was appointed and he went up to war and made a lot of contact, and I'm sure he's now in the process of preparing his report.
Intercommunal conflict in the Greater Jonglei region has existed for decades, but deadly attacks and counter-attacks between armed youth from Bor and Akobo counties and those from the Greater Pibor area ramped up beginning in December of last year and continues today. Activists and local leaders have said the absence of strong local governments has worsened the situation. Some analysts have said the violence is a result of competition for resources and have said the government must enforce law and order in the region and hold people accountable for their actions. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Family members of a senior military officer picked by the police last week for questioning over the killing of another officer involved in a deadly land dispute in Juba are calling on the authorities in Juba to release him. La Suba Memo reports from Juba.
The former military attaché at the South Sudan Embassy in Uganda, Brigadier General Majer Abdallah Mabior, has spent 1 week in police custody. Police spokesman says Mabior was detained as part of an investigation into a June 3rd land dispute at Juba's Gumbo neighborhood, where a mob attacked and killed Lwala Cook Walkir, who is related to President Salva Kiir. Mabior's wife, Elizabeth Akwola Bichok, says she wants to know why her husband was arrested.
I'm aware of his arrest, but what I'm getting on. Oh, my say is very important, and I'm really waiting to know the things behind his arrest.
South Sudan National Police Service spokesperson Brigadier General Daniel Justin confirms Mabior is in police custody in Juba.
I think there is a charge against the chief brigadier. As a result, the committee decided to arrest him for investigation. He's arrested to say that he is investigated about some charges. But the charges, what, I don't know.
South Sudan's transitional constitution stipulates that suspect arrested should be tried in a competent court within 24 hours from the time of arrest. Philip Nyang, Mabior's defense lawyer, says police have yet to file any charges against his client.
The charges are still not confirmed, but the information we have is that Majer is being accused under Section 206, that is murder of one Lualako, and then Section 305 of the Penal Code, that is robbery, that he was involved in robbery at the fateful day of the 3rd June, Sherikad. These are things that are yet to be confirmed.
Police detained Brigadier General Mabior following directives from the South Sudan Inspector General of Police, General Majak Akech Malok. In a letter dated July 15th, Malok requested General Thomas Duotquet of South Sudan's Intelligence Bureau to arrest Mabior. General Justin says investigative committee appointed by President Kiir requested for Mabior's arrest. Anyang says Mabior was arrested before the President's committee finalized its report.
If it is the committee that gave the directives of arrest, and then it should be known from the report that yes, the committee directed that Majer should be arrested, so and so should be arrested, and the names of whoever has been identified as having been involved. Mm. So that is misleading because the letters came before the report.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly contradictory.
Right.
These are alleged accusations against Majer.
Okay.
We're here to confirm if these are true or not true, but the truth is purely it's outside. It's a shock, it's a surprise. It's purely it's a sham in ways.
On Sunday, national security official arrested Akot Lual, President Kiir's special envoy to the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, but Lual was released on Wednesday. The Inspector General of the Police told South Sudan in Focus that the arrest of Mabior and Lual were because of what he called administrative issues and declined to comment further.
This one has nothing to do with the media. It's an administrative thing and has nothing to do with the media that I can give you any statement about that. Anything to do with the opening of the case has nothing to do with the media. After trial.
President Alpha Kiir ordered a 7-member committee on June 5th to investigate deadly incident at Gumbo neighborhood. The government is yet to publish the findings of the investigative committee on the incident.
For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese politicians reject the appointments of civilian governors. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the funniest thing to ever happen to you?
I was thinking I can cross a gutter. Unfortunately, I found myself in the gutter and everybody was laughing.
The funniest thing to ever happen to me was when I fell down in the marketplace and people were laughing. It became funny to me because I just slipped.
A lot has happened to me, but what I remember, being with my family, discussing, they get to tell me funny stories that make me happy.
The funniest thing that has ever happened to me is moving from the house, picking a vehicle, realizing I don't have money on me. How embarrassing to realize there's nothing on me, just moving out like that.
Try to like ask somebody for money and I tried to like fix something and it didn't work. Well, I was ashamed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some political parties in Sudan are opposing the appointment of state governors, with the Democratic Unionist Party rejecting appointment of 6 of its officials as state governors on the basis that the prime minister did not follow the right procedure. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Speaking in Arabic at a news conference Thursday evening in Khartoum, Vice Chairman of the Umma Party, Siddiq Muhammad Ismail, called on the party's six new governors not to take up their post, accusing Prime Minister Hamdok of failing to be inclusive when choosing the country's governors.
We categorically reject to be part of the state institutions that have been announced because they have not met the selected criteria agreed upon earlier. The appointment is lacking acceptance among the grassroots, which has been clearly noticed.
Muhammad says unstable states such as Darfur region should be ruled by retired military figures due to its fragile situation. He argues Hamdok failed to follow the agreed-to protocol for nominating state governors and therefore the Umma Party's representatives should withdraw from the proceedings.
Those who have been named as governors, as our party's representatives, we are confident that they will follow the party's high organizational discipline, perseverance, sacrifice, and principles. They were nominated by our political bureau. Therefore, we expect them to act according to our party's objectives, which you put the national interests above personal interests.
Hamdok named National Umma Party representatives to be governors of the states of White Nile, Southern Kordofan, South Darfur, West Kordofan, East Darfur, and West Darfur. Speaking in Arabic by telephone from Khartoum, Abubakar Abdurrazik, a political member of the pro-Islamic Popular Congress Party, says governors were not selected based on their competence but on party quota.
All the political parties are supposed to be excluded so that they carry out preparations during the transitional period and campaign for the national elections. We expected this period to be governed by independent individuals so that it doesn't affect the political divisions among the parties and so that we are sure the upcoming elections are fair and just.
Abdurrazik says his party fully supports the appointment of female governors, but says there should have been more than 2 out of 18 governors.
We think that instead of having only 2 female governors, there were supposed to be 5, so that they constitute 25%. This was our opinion, which we submitted earlier to the Military Council.
The Sudanese Professionals Association also issued a statement Thursday, says it has reservations about the method followed in appointing the 18 governors. It said the appointment of civilian governors is a long-awaited popular demand, but that it had a number of reservations about the way in which the rulers were appointed. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The Ogiek and Sengere ethnic groups in Kenya say authorities have forcefully evicted them from their ancestral homes and leaving families homeless in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Kenyan government began evictions last week, saying communities living in the forest were damaging the environment. Rights groups say the ethnic groups were protecting the forest from illegal logging and poaching. Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
In a media briefing held over Zoom Thursday, Kenya's indigenous communities complain of harassment and constant evictions from forests they have called home for centuries. Milka Chepkorir represents the Sengwere community. She says the COVID-19 pandemic has not stopped Kenyan authorities from evicting her people.
This is one of the evictions that have really hit us differently, because it's evictions during COVID times. It's evictions when children are not in school and they are playing in the glades, and from nowhere they're just being rendered homeless. And it is during the very coldest season of the year up in the mountains.
Last week, Ogiek community families were evicted from their forest homes. Daniel Kobei says he and 50,000 Ogiek people have known evictions all their lives.
We want to be very clear that the Ogiek have become subjects of eviction. And the recent one, which has removed over 300 families, they are now homeless and they have only being housed by their neighbors. And one of the issues is that the Ogiek community, with their people refusing to honor their ancestral ownership of Mao, have led them every time being said they have become a subject of eviction.
According to Human Rights Watch, 50,000 families in all have been evicted from the Mau forest and 6,000 families have been removed in recent months. The rights group also notes that in some instances, security officers used force to push people out of the forest. It says several people were injured in beatings and homes were burned down. Kenyan government spokesman Cyrus Oguna dismissed the Human Rights Watch allegations, saying via text message that their concerns are emotionally driven by certain acts of activism and not research. He also said the government will protect Kenyan forests for the good of the country, but in a human manner. Peter Kitelo, the chairman of Community Land Action Now, a network representing pastoral and forest communities, said evictions have been going on for decades in the name of conservation.
Most of the lands that we were evicted from, the ones that had, you know, the best forests, because at the moment for the Ogie community of Mount Elgon, the community has been pushed up on the moorlands and the real forest is on the lower side. What has happened with those forests over the years has been logging. And today, there is almost no forest. The only natural forest is still found on where the community is at the moment.
The government wants Kenya to have 10% forest cover by 2022, up from 7% now. Chep Korir of the Sengwer community says the best way forward is for the government to recognize the rights of the Ogiek and Sengwer communities to live in the forest and work with them to achieve conservation. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Salam Ya Sudan by Victoria Ole. Listening to Victoria Ole with the song Salam Ya Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distance, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Salam ya watan al-habib.